Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Good morning, everybody. Happy Wednesday. They call me the Iron Man, Jeffrey, because I'm here now 2 days in a row. How about that? How about that? Today on the radio show, we have, it'll be a bit of a mystery. If John were here, I'd ask him the odds. So John is off this week, and Jason is ably holding down that show. But much as I often do for them when I'm off, I still make do my appearance I did last week on their show. And so John has said he will join this show from Las Vegas. Now, we have him on in about half an hour. That's 9:30.
Indeed, Jeff.
So what time is that in Las Vegas?
That would be 7:30.
Okay. And again, what city is he in?
He is in Las Vegas, Nevada.
Yeah. So what he did confirm that he was aiming to be on the show. What are the odds? Well, how would you set him?
So I think the last time we went to Vegas, it was the same thing. I kind of found myself thinking 40-60, but he was there ready to go. So that's kind of
swing. You think less like more likely he will miss it than not.
That was what I thought the last time. And then he was ready to go. So I'm going to say,
I think 70-30 in favor.
Yeah.
I do think there's a real chance he is.
I think
not
there's a better chance than not.
I think he'll probably be here. We'll go take this first segment along to give him a little bit of, you know, time to wake up. He may be groggy.
He was singing the praises of the Circa's elevator system.
The Circa is a,
it's a casino hotel.
It's a casino hotel.
But it's off the strip. So he's staying downtown.
How much have you been to?
Probably 10 times.
10 times.
Well, because I went in college. So that's the other thing about Las Vegas. I used to like it. I would have pushed back on Charles's assessment of why Vegas money's down. I think it's twofold. There's no question tourism's a big part of it. But also what has happened is you go to the normal casinos that everybody goes to basically on the strip. And if you want to sit down and play blackjack, it's like 50 a hand. And so everybody's just said, like, I'm not playing that.
Become too expensive.
They've priced everyone out. So now what some people have done, though, is some of the hotels and casinos downtown have started offering gaming at a more reasonable rate, and that's led to some success.
Do you think I've been to Vegas?
I think you have, but I don't know if you've ever. I'd venture to say you've never gambled, but I'd say you've been to Vegas.
I literally have only been to Vegas once in my life.
Conference, probably?
No, and it wasn't for work. It was when Fishman and I were driving around the country after our senior year of college. We decided to
just do the road trip.
We do the road trip. And as you can imagine, it did not go well for about a day. Like because like he writes down when he stops for gas, right? He has to know exactly how much he paid for the new tank. He has to know how far the old tank went. He calculates how many miles to gallon he got on the old tank. And I'm just driving, you know, I'm just like, I don't give a damn. Like, and then he also wants you to drive really smoothly so you keep the gas mileage, whatever.
So he can maximize.
We camped much of the time, and then we'd get like a package of hot dogs at night. That's why one of the things that I am most get off my lawn guy about, one of the things that makes me seem really like old and I just don't get it is Uber Eats.
But I mean, I'm with you.
I don't, literally, we would get a pack of hot dogs and cook them for dinner at night, and then we'd eat the remaining ones for breakfast in the morning. The notion of spending $16 for whatever the dinner is and then another several dollars for the Uber Eats for the pleasure, I just don't understand how 22-year-olds can do that. It's crazy to me. So, but anyway, we drove around the country. And we stopped one night in Las Vegas, and he sprained his ankle doing something. I don't know while we were. I think we ended up going to an emergency room.
Is this 81?
It would have been 83. It would have been 83. And back then, and it's just not my kind of place. I am not a
bright lights. But it's also a very different Vegas.
And it's also a very different. That was a Vegas where food was incredibly cheap.
Well, that was so when you asked
walk into a, you'd walk in and they'd say all you can eat buffet $1.99 because they try to get you in to then gamble or something. It was just a wild and literally we camped at some place that was mostly gravel. Like it was for campers.
Yeah,
it wasn't for us for pitching our tent.
Right, it wasn't for people driving across the country
with a pitch in their tent.
Right.
But did we gamble? No, we didn't gamble. I don't even, we went to an all you can eat buffet. Other than that, no recollection of anything.
No, the reason why I've been so many times is in college, you know, in LA, it was super expensive. And at that time, it's like, hey, if you wanted to go and have a big weekend and do it fairly cheaply, you went to Vegas.
You could still do it cheaply.
Correct. And the last three or four times I've been.
Would you want to live in Vegas?
I guess the first question is, what's it pay? Would I have a problem living in Vegas? No. Like, that's the other thing about Vegas. Like, where Tim Murray lives.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, Tim lives in, like, Henderson. Like, there's right. plenty of communities
nice
and stuff.
Communities, yeah.
And they're all, everything's new.
Well, like, that's the thing. I wouldn't want to live in Vegas. I didn't like living in Miami, Fort Lauderdale, you know.
Because, yeah.
And I liked it fine. I think you could be happy anywhere. That's my general view.
Yeah, I'm with you.
But I am not a gated community, you know, new, everything
so it
new.
Is very, it is very golf coursey.
Right. Yeah. Anyway, we'll see if John Martin shows up. Then we got Chris Harrington straight up at 10 o'clock and then Sam Hardiman. We're going to talk to Sam Hardiman about a bunch of things, including something I read about Tom Brady. And I wanted to see if he agrees.
If he co-signs.
He's kind of savage about Tom Brady and his personality. And have you seen, there's a soccer show involving Tom Brady,
Oh, yeah, so it's on Amazon Prime. So he bought into, like a lot of the celebrities have been doing now, he bought into a ownership group.
Right.
I believe his is Birmingham.
It's Birmingham.
And so,
Birmingham.
So basically, everyone's copying the formula of Welcome to Wrexham.
Exactly.
With Rob Mack. And
it just seems like a total knockoff.
Correct.
This one review I read just talks about how utterly unappealing Tom Brady is as a personality. And whatever. I'll read it. We'll see because he's a big TB guy, right? As well he should be. He's grateful for those six Super Bowls. Was it six?
Six and, for him, seven yeah. for Tom. Tampa.
Oh, right. Seven. That's right. God, that's amazing. So we'll talk to him about that. But then he also, I was away last week when there was the new, and I know we do XAI with Sam, but the news about the turbines at the second plant was kind of disturbing to me, honestly. And so I wanted to ask him about that. But then he wants to talk about the trolleys. He suggested we talk about the trolleys. Do you miss the trolleys? I miss the trolleys.
I miss the trolleys.
I wish they weren't so damn expensive.
Whenever
you go by a, you know, one of those trolley stations, I sort of bemoan it. I used to go at least once or twice a year. I would take the kids to the trolleys and we just ride around the city, whatever. Maybe go to the arcade. Like we had a good time on the trolleys and they add to the character of the place. So I'd like to have the trolleys back.
I always just get apprehensive with we're bringing the trolleys back because of the exact point that you make.
Well, if there's a colossal expense
yes.
for a poor city, what can you justify? Right.
Yeah.
That's the question. But anyway,
I have ridden both the trolleys and the monorail.
I think I've ridden them both too. Yeah. Monorail was still working when I got here in 96. So that's the lineup. John Martin, maybe. Chris Harrington up at 10 o'clock. And then Sam Hardiman. Today is a big day, Jeffrey. Do you plan to watch the New Heights podcast tonight, dropping at 6 p.m. tonight. Taylor Swift on with Travis Kelce on the Kelce Brothers New Heights podcast, where she will talk about her newest album.
No.
You will not watch.
Correct. Not.
How does one watch?
As far as I know, it streams on YouTube. I'm sure they didn't they sign a big deal with someone, Spotify maybe?
So the reading about this, the thought will be, well, here is Madeline Hill from the Athletic Sports Gossip Show, who wrote the following. The hype around this viewing event feels like if the finales of Succession, Game of Thrones, Sopranos, and the Oscars Super Bowl all happened on the same night. Now, I don't think that's true. But, like, for example,
to someone Madeline's age, I bet it does.
Maybe the hype around it, but here's the thing.
It does feel like the biggest moment in pop culture this year.
It surely, as she continues to write, and this is what's interesting, it surely will be the most streamed podcast episode in history and probably one of the most viewed YouTube videos in the platform's history. So New Heights has 2.6 million YouTube subscribers. Well, it's not. I mean, we're talking about the Super Bowl gets how many? 100 million?
No, 100 total views.
Yeah.
I mean, worldwide over a billion, but in America, 140.
Yeah. So, I mean, we're not. Okay. So New Heights has 2.6 million YouTube subscribers, 4.6 million TikTok followers, and 3 million Instagram followers. So 4.6, 7.6, 8.6, 9.6. That's about 10 million, basically. It's currently the number one show on Apple Podcasts. But then you've got Swift's audience, of course.
Correct.
They will all, and it is infinite, right? I mean, it is
the world.
It is the world. The most viewed podcast episode ever is from a Saudi show that once hit 144 million views. The show is THMANYAH, Thmanya.
I'm sure you nailed it.
A Saudi show that once hit 144 million views. How many views? Okay, here you go. Ready? We'll say.
Do we have any?
I'm gonna set the over under purely randomly at 30 million.
Right.
Will this now
so
again?
Here's what
we only got between the YouTube subscribers, TikTok, and Instagram. We only got to 10 million with the New Heights podcast.
Okay, but in general, I believe they say the percentages subscribers only make up a third of views.
Oh, so you're already to 30 million.
So I'm gonna, see the problem is they'll combine everything. It'll be like impressions because people are going to watch clips and then they'll watch the TikToks and then they'll throw in the downloads.
I think you will. I'm talking literally about just
the YouTube audience.
We'll just say the YouTube audience. Let's just say the YouTube audience. Do you think we'll know that number? I think we'll probably know that number.
You can go on the video and it'll tell you how many views.
Tell you right there.
I would wonder how many. Are you saying in the next 24 hours? Are you saying by the end of the week?
Yeah, but I'm talking about by the time we, you know,
by the time
we do a
show tomorrow.
Convene tomorrow, exactly.
I'm going to say I actually want the under on 30 million.
Fewer than 30 million?
Yeah. If it's by tomorrow.
I think I'll take the over on 30 million.
We'll see.
I will not watch. I mean, let's be honest. I hate the Chiefs, you know. I just on principle. Even if I was a Swiftie, I wouldn't necessarily watch because I hate the Chiefs. But and I don't want anything to do with any of that little love story there. But it is obviously a massive cultural event that will be unfolding today. And connected with it, we have a piece from Drew Hill over at the Daily Memphian that I would urge you to read. Do you know how many times? So Drew has weighed in, by the way, as if on cue. The Instagram teaser reel for the podcast. Got this? The Instagram teaser reel.
Mm-hmm.
Care to guess how many views it has?
Probably somewhere like 50.
173 million views.
Yeah.
But that's just a teaser. Yeah.
People can sit there and watch the teaser without watching the thing. The YouTube video. Not the clips.
No. Nope.
Not total. You asked that.
I think that's right. Anyway, we have this piece from Drew talking about an interesting event in Memphis history.
I'll get my buddy Ryan to set a real line.
Do you care to guess how many times Taylor Swift has played Memphis?
So I believe when Lexi was our official correspondent, I guess once a correspondent, always an official Taylor Swift correspondent.
We really got to get her back on for this important.
Because Lexi had mentioned that the first time that she saw her was not the performance that she did at Ibiza, but it was that concert weekend where she was opening. She was opening for a bigger act,
Rascal Flatts.
Yeah,
three times. So three times inside FedEx Forum, an opener for Rascal Flatts in 2006, an opener for George Strait.
George Strait, I think, was the one she mentioned.
Is that right? In 2007, and on her Speak Now tour in 2011. Now, of course, we got the Liberty Bowl cranked up again.
Oh, yeah.
So
ready to go.
Would have been impossible before we put in that giant-ass tunnel that they're putting in that's going to enable bigger concerts at the Liberty Bowl. But those three, and then Drew wrote about a sort of remarkable moment in Memphis history when Tommy Peters, a big restaurant guy and music guy in Memphis, he arranged for her to play. Tommy Peters, by the way, he opened Lafayette's. He opened Moondance, the place in Germantown that I've never been to, but you hear good things about. He opened Itabina, which is the restaurant that's supposed to be like it's like a little hideaway on Beale Street, upstairs in Beale Street.
I think it's on top of B.B. King's, right?
Is it on top of B.B. King's?
Yeah, that's right.
Maybe it. So they brought in Swift for a photo shoot with Justine magazine. And that's why, she came in here, and he has an interview with Grace, Peters, who's the daughter, about what that was like. So there you go. So she came, she did sing also at that appearance. But Taylor Swift, big news tonight that in the grand scheme, I think you and I are pretty low on the give a F about it, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think the one spin zone for you has to be...
I do like him being distracted.
Exactly. And like he's even acknowledged his performance the last 2 years has been...
He has... Yeah, I wonder.
I do think that's also...
I think that's a total excuse, guy. He's getting old.
100%.
He's like, I've been distracted by Taylor Swift. Do you believe that at all? Do you think he has fallen off at all? He's getting old. That's what happens when you're a tight end.
I do think you stop pushing yourself.
Yes. Oh, I think that's probably right. But I think you. I think you naturally do when you're older too.
You've
won Super Bowls. You've
fame seeking versus father time. I'm voting on father time.
But this was a happy accelerant for him, maybe. Sure, I suppose. It'll be interesting to see what their weapons are like, this to see what Patrick Mahomes' year is like, because, you and I haven't talked at all about the quarterback tiers ranking that came out. Did you get Sando on yesterday?
We did.
Yeah, the quarterback tiers ranking. And the shocking thing about that was Joe Burrow tied Patrick Mahomes as number one. Pretty shocking. I never would have thought that.
Mike explained the mechanics of it. He asks all the people just to rank in tiers.
In tiers.
So Joe, I think if like you had
they
to
were
rank,
both unanimous.
Correct. They both were
both
I think
unanimous
50 out of 50.
First tier. Yeah, 50 out of 50.
That actually didn't surprise me. What did surprise me more than anything is that I kind of thought. I thought Hurts would get more of a bump.
I think that's in it. Yes. There were lots of things in that ranking.
But I thought
that
the comments about Mahomes,
later.
I actually, I don't know. To me,
but the numbers haven't been great. I mean, the numbers have not been great lately. On the other hand, it is interesting. You look at the difference in weapons between those two players, and it's like, come on, man. Seriously?
100%.
Really? You're throwing to garbage now, and you're throwing to, you know, two of the best receivers in the NFL.
I know it didn't show up in the Super Bowl, but also Mahomes is, in general, better protected than Burrow is.
Yeah. Yeah.
He certainly, again, it did not show up in the Super Bowl.
He wasn't in the Super Bowl. And they had a problem with protection last year, honestly. It's why they drafted the big left, the tackle from Ohio State in the first round. So,
congrats on his all-pro career.
But yeah, Rashee Rice is going to be suspended for some of it. We know that Hollywood's been hurt, right? And so what will it look like? We'll see. All right. The other news, I guess, maybe won't be the biggest cultural event of the century is James Cook signed a contract.
Yep.
Agreed to a contract. Hard Knocks last night again. And it was once again. I mean, it's just not, it's not gripping. Who watches it?
Well, you know what, like, I thought?
Why would you need, unless you're a Bills fan and you just want to immerse yourself in the Bills, why watch that?
It looks like football. And we're kind of in that get me more football phase. Obviously, with the game, they had more that was interesting. But what I've actually found is, the last couple of seasons of Hard Knocks, because they know they're getting such limited access, the amount of clips from like other podcasts, like they had Bussin' with the Boys, the Josh's appearance on Bussin' the Boys, right. Like they're the fact that they're having to like package
and then they just like the most of the conversations that they have are just from the, like, if you follow the Bills, you've heard most of these sound bites because they're from just their Sean McDermott
the
talked to. They have a few here and there, but like the James Cook, I mean, the James Cook hold-in was part of last night's Hard Knocks episode. Now we know he's reached an agreement. But was there anything about honest conversation about James Cook or the difficulties or any side? Nothing. There was nothing. There was no conversation about, you know, what a hard question it is, whether you want to pay a running back a second contract. There was nothing. There was no conversation between Brandon Bean and Terry Pegula. Terry Pegula comes off like a complete moron.
Like
by
he's
the way.
Inserted. It's very
literally
it's Jerry Jonesy.
It's not even. It is. Yeah. It's Jerry in terms of his presence.
I'm saying
it's Jerry Jonesy.
Yeah.
Yes. And then, but he just seems like the most dim-witted.
Yeah.
You know.
You sit there and just go, "How
just
is this guy
totally
dim-witted billionaire?"
He. It's because he happened upon gas wells.
Yes.
Just a moron. Anyway. But there's no conversation between Bean and Pegula. Do we want to pay him this? Like, there's nothing interesting about it.
I think you can blame me for that. I think when the Giants actually had, like, when they actually showed the Saquon, I think you'll never see it again.
Never do this again. I mean, there was some entertaining stuff. KJ Hamler, who was a player who won't make the roster, he was a receiver for Penn State. You folks may remember.
Very fast.
Very fast little guy. And hilarious. I mean, it was hilarious. A little bit about his scooter was very funny. But
the whole
whatever.
Scooter bit was actually, I thought, the highlight.
It was the best part. Yeah. He had this crappy-ass scooter to get around like, the campus, and now they got a new scooter sent
Kept
to him.
The plastic on.
He was
on.
So happy about the scooter. Like, it was charming.
Yeah.
It was charming, but there was nothing at all about it. Yeah, whatever. So, and then the James Cook looked kind of sullen as he was there. But today we got the news. Enough about Hard Knocks. Watch it if you want. I
will say the only thing that was actually interesting about Brandon Bean, and you I would assume know this, but I just didn't realize it, but I did not realize this is under his watch. This was the first like hold in.
Never. Yeah. They never had a holdout, hold in anything. There were a few little moments where Joe Andreessen, who's the linebacker from Buffalo, doesn't catch an interception.
Yeah.
And so you have him in the box and got to catch that one, Joe. You know, whatever. That's the closest thing to like criticism you'll get. Joe Andreessen popped a running back when he went running out of bounds that he shouldn't have. And you had the offensive tackle come over and yell at him. It's just like nothing of real consequence. The news, though, around James Cook was that he has a new deal. 4 years, $48 million, $30 million guaranteed. It makes him the sixth highest paid running back in the league Kyren Williams from the Rams just got $11 million, so he comes in slightly above that. Honestly, very different players, and Kyren Williams is much more of a workhorse. How do you feel about paying a running back that much money for a second contract?
What were the guarantees?
$30 million.
I think that's a pretty good deal. Because I think you would also agree, like, yeah, is he Derrick Henry of, like, let's feed him whole game?
Who's better? What running backs are better? Saquon's better?
Yep.
Right?
I still think Derrick Henry's better.
Derrick Henry. So different. Crazy different, but better. You'd say, yes, he'd better.
What do we do with McCaffrey?
It's funny. McCaffrey's like Jaw.
Yeah, if he's healthy, he's
definitely better.
If he's healthy, he is special.
He is better. Is Gibbs better?
I think he's in that tier for me of Gibbs, Bijan.
I think
Josh Jacobs.
What's interesting, of course, is when you get paid. You normally, even if you're not the best quarterback, you get the most money. It doesn't work that way so 100%. Much anymore. Even if you're not the best because you're the most recent.
Right.
And so the fact that he's the sixth highest paid actually means he's probably a lot of times you'll jump to the top, right? And he didn't jump to the top or jump close to the top.
Correct.
He didn't really jump close to the top. Here's the thing. I think you can make an argument against paying running back second contracts, like, except if you look at that team, they don't have weapons who scare you. They have weapons who, whatever, they have Shakir, who's a gutty receiver, a good slot receiver, possession receiver.
He's in that category of, like, honestly, if Shakir doesn't play, I don't bet on the Bills.
But he's very good. He's essential.
Right.
But is he a game breaker?
No.
Not a game breaker. Is Keon Coleman a game breaker? Not a game breaker. They don't have any game breakers except for James Cook is actually a game breaker. So one of the criticisms from Bills fans is, you had to pay James Cook because you still have not gotten Josh proper weapons on the outside. So you have one game breaker and so you got to overpay your running back. That was one of the criticisms that you hear.
I mainly think you have to have him because I think he is so vital to the Bills on keeping drives alive. Because if it's not going to be Josh just getting a first down, oftentimes, like, some of their best red zone plays are a lot of misdirection and then Cook's out in the backfield and he's...
Or delayed handoff to him, whatever, draws and whatever. He is explosive and he's gifted and he was huge last year. 16 touchdowns.
Part of the reason, remember last year when everyone thought Josh was going to take the step back and I was pretty confident? Right. To me, one of the biggest reasons was they were... With McDermott not being the defensive coordinator anymore, he could have different eyes as being a head coach, and which is when Cook would fumble, he'd take him out. And it's like, no, he's your best running back. Keep playing him. And I did think that he added an element to the offense that they needed.
There's a big drop-off to Ray Davis. It's interesting. Yes. That draft, the Bills whiffed on their first-round pick, Kyir Elam, who was subsequently sent to Dallas. In that draft, though, they drafted James Cook. They drafted Shakir. They drafted Terrell Bernard, who is their right now starting linebacker, really, really terrific linebacker, gave him a second contract, and Christian Benford, who you may not have heard of, but is probably one of the top 10 cornerbacks in the league. So they hit on four
and
Pro Bowl level players.
Guys that have been available.
Yeah. So it is so different than the NBA because you just don't find, if you whiff on your first round draft picks in the NBA, God willing, I mean the Grizzlies maybe have salvaged themselves a little bit with the second round, but it's tough. And in the NFL, you can build a team rounds two through seven. We do have John Martin, I hope. We've got Chris Harrington, and we've got Sam Hardiman. Couple other things, real quick before we break. One, Pete Thamel.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Has Memphis Tiger football news, right?
Indeed he does, Jeff, if my everything app would cooperate just a little bit. The news from earlier this morning, source, Nevada transfer, Brennan Lewis has emerged as the starting quarterback at Memphis, and he'll debut in the opener against Chattanooga.
Shocked.
He's a six-year senior who played 39 games at Nevada and Colorado early in his career. Lewis has thrown for 5,330 yards and 28 touchdowns in his career. Also, let's see.
Yeah, it wasn't. Listen, everybody assumed he'd be the starter. It's interesting that Pete Thamel would even report that, right? Like he'd be dangerous. Like
I love how it said source, not sources.
Right. So,
wonder who that could be.
So anyway, no shocker there. Does he have to be? For the Tigers to have the season that everyone wants them to have, does he have to be first or second team all conference?
No, because I think the way that they envision him is that they're going to be able to have a dynamic running game, and I just don't think he's going to have the overwhelming numbers. I think everybody better get ready for some ball control, baby.
I think that's right. I think this may be the most, and to the extent that he will put up, he'll run the ball too. He'll be a part of that.
He is a very good runner.
The strength of that team is that running back room. Here's the thing. I mean, I was having this debate with Gabe. If you were going to rank him in terms of quarterbacks, I think you'd say, I mean, you'd have to put, like, Jake Retzlaff just arrived at Tulane, but look what he's done, right? You'd have to put him ahead.
The only question I have is, like, I don't even know if they're going to start him. I figured when you bring him in, you're bringing him in for that. But
have you heard they are not starting
that's
him?
That's what the momentum is.
Is that they are not.
Correct.
Okay. How about Blake Horvath?
Ahead.
He's got to be ahead, right? I mean, we've seen him destroy people. How about the often injured Byron Brown?
So if you want to talk me into you just can't trust Byron to stay healthy, that's fine. He's more talented. Byron's more talented.
You would take him.
Yes.
I think so. Then I guess the only other one who you might.
So you got McCown.
Think about is McCown.
I'm trying to think if there's anyone else in the league.
I mean,
I'd probably take McCown just because I think he's a better pure thrower. And, like, I just think that if you're.
I'm looking at the Athlon, okay? Yep. They go Blake Horvath, number one. Byron Brown, number two. Owen McCown, three. Caden Veltkamp, four.
Is Veltkamp the kid that's now at.
Western Kentucky.
So he was at
at
Western Kentucky, and they is he at ECU? Maybe.
No, played 13 contests for the Hilltoppers.
No,
last year.
Somebody. No. He's with FAU. That's who FAU hired.
Right.
FAU hired his offensive coordinator. So he was at Western Kentucky, but now he's at FAU.
Correct. The new FAU coach was at Texas Tech last year.
Right, but he coached him at right. – he was at Western Kentucky and coached
So then
him.
He has Jake Retzlaff at five and then Brendan Lewis at six. Caton Hauser, East Carolina, seven.
My only concern when you're a primary runner is, and maybe we can see in this league that there's just not enough defensive athletes. I just feel like when they know that there's not as significant of a pass, a threat of the pass, like this is what Brennan Lewis last year started out the year having a pretty good season considering how god-awful Nevada's talent is.
Right.
But as everyone started to realize, like, hey, make him throw, his season dropped off.
I'll tell you who's going to put up. Well, and it's also, it's not fair because he's not, you point out, they will be a run dominant football team. You compare to whoever the quarterback is at North Texas, they're going to be flinging it all over the
Correct.
Place. So you'll have better numbers from the North Texas quarterback, whether it's, they got two guys, Poffenbarger, which is a great name, or Mestemaker. Is that it?
Sure.
So they're going to put up bigger numbers.
I mean, my problem is like he's going to be comped to Horvath, and Horvath's going to have better numbers.
Yes, I think that's right. All right, we are going to take a break. We'll see if John Martin joins us on the other side. I got other things to talk about if he does not. It's 7:30 in Las Vegas.
7:35.
John, wake up. We'll discover next. Jeff Crockett Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
All right, back on the Jeff Calkins Show on a Wednesday. We've had a lot of suspense here because we were wondering whether John Martin would be awake and present for his appearance from Las Vegas. What did we say? 70% yes, 30% no?
Yeah, I guess we got him backwards.
What do you mean? Yeah, whiffed. John does not show up. John, who committed to be here, let me just say a little, the next time that I'm on vacation and I say that I'll
Real
be
Maurice Stoudemire
and,
situation
and
here.
I'll say that I'm here for their radio show and I'm to be on the pop on their radio show anyway. And I listen, Jason's going to be an innocent victim in this.
Yes,
right? Jason's going to be an innocent, as he so often is. But the next time that and not only that, I'm not going to tell them in advance. I'm going to say, sure, I'll be there. And then when I call them, I will just not be there. Yeah, exactly. We'll see how this works. Turnabout is fair play. Revenge is best served cold, mm-hmm. Jeffrey. So there you go. Unbelievable. So, okay, this does give me time to get to some other things I wanted to talk about. But I want to continue the Memphis football discussion real quick.
All right.
Because, you know, we were talking about the quarterback. I was talking about the quarterbacks with Gabe, but then yesterday Ryan appeared on a list of group of five coaches who are in line to be power five coaches, power four coaches, whatever next year. Right.
Yep.
And he asked me this question. He said, man, it feels like to me, he said that Ryan's reputation outside of Memphis is so dramatically much better than his reputation inside of Memphis. And to that, I said, I don't agree. I don't agree because I literally have in his entire tenure never heard of another school taking a serious run at Ryan. And if you're just going by lists, he's not normally on the lists either. So I actually don't think that his reputation outside of Memphis is higher than his reputation inside of Memphis. I think his reputation is of a guy who was taken over a program that was doing very well.
Yep.
Who had some difficult circumstances because of the COVID and the changing world.
Yep.
and has kept the program going at a pretty darn high level, but not at the level that it was. And along the way, attendance has leached. So I don't think that that is a coach who people are falling all over themselves to get, and who is, I don't think his reputation, I think his reputation is B plus in Memphis and outside of Memphis. What do you think?
I think you are correct in your assessment. The only time I remember his name popping up for a job was the Indiana job, and I believe that he was leaking his name or someone close to him.
He wanted a new contract.
He wanted a new contract because it was very obvious Indiana had targeted JMU guy, Mr.
Right.
Front runner, Cignetti. That deal was clearly done. So, like, to me, I think you're 100% right because...
I don't think his reputation is a joke. I don't think his reputation is trash, but his reputation is...
I think it's fine.
It's fine.
Yeah.
It's maybe fine plus, right? But coaches at... But schools at the Power Four level aren't trying to hire? Fine. They're not literally not trying to hire a coach who has made a program more boring and less well-attended.
I was going to say, the other problem is, if you want to go boring, you have to win at the highest level.
Right.
To get people excited.
So, now, I do think that the consistency is really appealing. And I think the competence in running a program is really appealing. I think his ability that he has shown to adjust to changing circumstances is really appealing. But for him to get that kind of a job, he's got to excel at a level that he has not yet. Unless someone just sort of strikes out on the first four coaching hires and has to hire someone.
Yeah, I mean
Georgia Tech hiring Josh Pastner, right? It's sort of,
yeah,
fine. You know, I got to hire someone.
Like a lateral move, like to reset the clock?
Very similar. Josh took a program that had been operating at a higher level, did a pretty good job.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, I think history's actually probably been kinder to Josh than...
than it is. And so I don't know. Like, and then Scotty, who is one of our loyal listeners who I appreciate, he tweeted out. He said that, and again, I just wanted to wrap this up while I was thinking about Memphis football. I think Tiger fans should start adjusting to a bridge year, a lot like what I think Tennessee will be this year, unless the QB is a lot better than expected. And I don't expect it in either case.
So the only problem with that, because I know your point's
my point was, is that Tennessee's bridge year, if Tennessee was to take a step back this year, the coach is going to get a little grief, right? It's the nature of it,
yep.
Right? Particularly because he made a stand on a quarterback, and if you get an inferior quarterback because you made this stand, it's totally self-inflicted.
Yes.
Right? I think at Tennessee, you're always going to take it. You can call it a bridge all you want, but it will, in fact, cause unhappiness among the Tennessee faithful. But at least there, you are bridging from a level of achievement that you had not reached previously, under previous coaches.
In decades,
right?
Yes.
Yes, in decades. And so, okay, if I have to endure a bridge, well, I just went to the playoff, for God's sakes. I can probably put up with a bridge.
Two Alabama wins in the last 3 years.
Yeah, as long as it's a bridge from two Alabama
yep.
wins in the last 3 years and going to the playoff, take a step back for 1 year because the quarterback thing blew up, and then I can bridge to another great season, that's fine. But when you're bridging from seasons that were ultimately not what you wanted, which is true in Memphis. They haven't been to a conference title game, for God's sakes.
And the league's never been weaker.
People are still waiting for the signature season. They're not wanting the bridge. And so you have this level of expectation that's, okay, it's time, when the roster may suggest a bridge. Although, as you point out,
I'm not sure the schedule suggests
the schedule is so favorable, and the conference is so feeble that there's no reason this can't be the year.
Like in the end, your two toughest or your three toughest games, it's the opposite of last year. All your tough games are largely on the road. This year, your toughest games are at home, and most of your road games are against teams that are like disasters. Like FAU is gonna is trying to tear it down to the studs and rebuild. Cool. UAB, I presume we got a coaching change coming. Rice, who the heck knows? East Carolina, I think, might have made an emotional hire with the interim. But those are the games that I'd want to see.
Yeah, no, I and by the way, if it then turns out that Ryan has the kind of year that we've been waiting for him to hear to have, which he's going to the conference title game or even wins the conference title, do I then think he is in fact a coach who will be in demand from bigger schools? Yes, I do. And do I then would I then begrudge him for saying, listen, in the end, they all go. Like
one way or another.
However tortured they may feel about it, Justin, like Memphis, he left. Mike, I think, liked Memphis more than Justin, honestly. He left.
I think publicly.
What?
I think publicly.
Yeah. But I actually think it was and then
I mean, he's from closer to he's from Arkansas. And, like, this isn't that big of a culture shock for him.
And right? Ryan, if he gets that kind of a job, he will leave. It's just that is what will happen. They will leave. I do think Ryan will be within his rights at that point to say, at least to friends, he won't say it publicly, I was never appreciated here anyway.
Yeah, I think he's.
Don't you think? I think sentiment.
I guess that could be his sentiment. I would also say, hey, man, you also had like, you didn't exactly like knock it out of the park, bro.
No, but he wouldn't want to hear that.
Like, right, yeah.
I mean, literally, Ryan got the job because of the upwelling of support for Ryan.
And I would also argue.
And then he has.
Well, I think it's even more behind the scenes. I think he got the job because he was a compromise candidate. I think there were two camps.
And he also was a very effective lobbyist. He was a very effective lobbyist.
Absolutely.
For his, and he got the public behind him. He got important people behind him.
Which is
him.
The irony he of was his tenure.
Which is what's funny is he was so good before he got the job at getting people behind him. And then since then, he's been the opposite.
He's kind of taking like the adversarial approach.
It's just bizarre. The guy who was so, we're one of you, we're rallying the folks behind us, this is my dream.
I want to be the Memphis coach forever.
And it all, I guess the theory, whether it's true or not, it all goes back to the party bus report. Like that's when the world turned on him, that Mark Giannotto and the CIA reported the party bus is where COVID spread. Is that what happened?
No, I really don't. Because I actually think that was kind of a rallying thing.
Internally, but that's when he no longer trusted anybody.
Oh, you're saying from his perspective.
From his perception of when he...
But he wasn't, like, blowing it out of the water before that either. But yes,
In that way, by the way, he is the opposite of Josh.
Yeah.
Like, Josh, one of the reasons that Josh lasted as long as he did and was as popular as he was for as long as he was that he was always, he never changed. He was always Josh.
Yes.
He was the literally the nicest guy in the world from the beginning to the end. And he was always out there in public and always, and in the end, people finally got weary of that too, because the winning, it was an impossible act that he was.
Yeah, I mean, let's be real. If you were following up John Calipari, you were going to be hired. Yes. Like
it was an impossible job. But again, I mean, Ryan had to follow a cotton bowl.
Yeah, but I would also argue the league that Ryan inherited is worse than the league. Like it's
well, and he has more money, and the league is worse. I mean, Houston, Cincinnati, they all left.
Correct. UCF,
that's UCF. They all left.
Like,
that's the thing. Like the two previous guys. Both went to the both won titles, or at least a share of a title, in much tougher leagues.
Yes.
It's just true.
And I know there are some circumstances with last year, with the schedule in particular. It's also why I struggle with this year, where I do think emotionally the fan base is kind of settled in for the rebuild, retool, reload, whatever, bridge year, however you want to say it. I think they've got as good of a chance this year as they did last year, if not maybe slightly better, because the schedule's more in their favor.
It's interesting, because last year was like this is the year we're going to the playoff, and you don't hear that at all.
Yeah.
But you think, in fact, it's just as...
They have the basically, to me, the exact same chance.
I didn't get your opinion yesterday on the John Mateer's stuff. The Oklahoma quarterback, Oklahoma transfer quarterback, who we learned that he sent on Venmo
back in 2022
to his friend a payment for, quote unquote, as he labeled it himself, sports gambling.
Yeah. So Tim and I disagreed on this yesterday. As someone who has allegedly or allegedly not settled up on Venmo, you never, ever put, if you're settling up for gambling, you never put that you're settling up for gambling. So to me, like, that's red flag. My whole thing is, this is going to be impossible to prove. Even if it was some as simple as they were sitting around their dorm room watching the USC-UCLA game and they did bet $20 or whatever, because we
it's
don't have
clearly the, not provable.
Correct.
It's 100% not provable. So he will be the Oklahoma quarterback.
Yes.
Right? What do you believe actually happened, though? Who would write sports gamble? Like, Gabe posited that it was two guys watching football. Maybe he's watching it, whatever, with his buddy, and they have a little wager. Who do you think is going to win this game? And they just wager between themselves $20, and that's what it was. But why would you then write the words sports gambling? Would you call that sports gambling?
Yeah, I mean, what I actually think happened, I mean, to me, that's a plausible, because that's what Tim and Gabe, they both believe the same thing. What I think probably happened is it's two guys that were either roommates or close, and they were one guy, like, they were sending Venmo money, and they made a joke. Sports gambling. Like, I don't know of anyone that's ever settled up a bet.
You think it's a joke?
Yes.
You got to say it was a stupid joke.
Yeah, no, I don't think it's funny.
But it's also before the Iowa State stuff, right? Wasn't it?
It was before that, but also the difference with that one is that was found by the gambling apps.
No, I know, but I just mean in terms of how stupid a joke it was. If you're a college athlete if you write down sports gambling, what do you think you're doing there? Well, it's ridiculously moronic. It would seem to me. All right, we got to take a break. I'm going to presume that Chris Harrington and Sam Hardiman will show up.
Yeah,
unlike John Martin. And so we got to take a break. Before then, I will tell you, if you are selling your home, Josh Hysa and his team at Keller Williams Realty is the folks to call. 901-461-8147. 901-461-8147. Josh has the buyers.com. And I can tell you that this is not a bad time to contemplate his guaranteed instant cash offer. That he will present to you, because it is a tricky time right now in the markets. I've actually been wondering about maybe we'll move. And I see houses that have been out there for a year and a half. They just sit. And you just think about these people who are like showing after showing after showing, keeping the house clean, the uncertainty, all of that. Josh, if you call him, will come out to your house. He'll size it up and, again, make a guaranteed instant cash offer for your home. Same convenience as the unsolicited cash offers that you get, but you walk away with more money in your pocket. And you got up to 4 months before you have to hand over your keys. It's Josh Hysa and the team at Keller Williams Realty. Again, the phone number 901-461-8147 or joshhasthebuyers.com. Chris Harrington on the other side. Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Total, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.